With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 12th of March, 2018. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, we'll hear from Aaron Ramsey about his early days with the club. But we kick off by looking back at another pretty successful double game week, I'm pleased to say, with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, the Press Association's Mark Mann-Bryans joins us as our Arsenal insider. Mark, always good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
And back in a good positive mood, I would hope, after back-to-back wins, AC Milan first leg, and then backed up Emirates Stadium on Sunday against Watford.
Yes, of course, you know, if you're struggling, then what else is there better to do than just win a couple of games to calm things down a little bit? And I think, you know, they've beaten two teams that they would arguably have wanted to have beaten. Milan would have been more of a struggle, you'd have thought, but they actually eased to victory in both of them.
And the Watford game, 3-0, an emphatic scoreline. I guess one that perhaps maybe flattered Arsenal just a tad, in that Watford did create some chances of their own, didn't they, and some decent ones.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think Arsenal definitely deserves to win the game, but as you say, the 3-0 flattered them slightly. Obviously, Watford missed a penalty, but also created a couple of chances. Petr Cech, who's coming for criticism, even self-criticism lately, was actually fantastic yesterday.
We'll come on to check in a couple of moments and all the landmarks and the stories surrounding him from events here from Sunday. But yeah, I think we'll go with some of the goals first of all, and 1,000 home Premier League goals for Arsenal in the can, courtesy of Skodra Mustafi. That was a great moment.
Yes, you know, I believe it's only Manchester United that have achieved such an accolade, and these things almost get scoffed at, that the stats just seem to come out of left field from time to time. But it just shows the longevity of how long Arsenal have been at the top of their game in the Premier League.
And there have been some crackers over the years at a combination of Highbury and here at Emirates Stadium as well, haven't there? So it's nice that someone like Mustafi was the guy who got to crown it all with this landmark. And it was a good and it was a significant goal, wasn't it, for the club?
Yes, I think you find often with these landmarks that you see when you pinpoint them, they always seem to be players you wouldn't expect that managed to get them. It'll probably be a quiz question in 10 years' time. But yeah, it was an important goal at an important time in the game. Watford were just starting to get a bit of a head of steam, but that took the pressure off and set the basis for the rest of the game.
Now, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang getting the second goal to put Arsenal well on the way in the game, and just lovely interchangeability between him and his former Borussia Dortmund mate in Henrik Mkhitaryan. This bodes very well for me.
He hasn't been at his best in recent weeks, but I think he's back to better days in the last couple of games.
Aubameyang looking to come forward, flag stays down, Aubameyang must score, and does! Well, the ball played through, Aubameyang shows his pace, he takes it around Canizes and then rolls it into an empty net, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has got Arsenal second here. And really, Watford have been the better side since the restart, and it's a breakaway goal. It's terrific vision, good running, and it's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yes, I mean, a lot of people spoke about it, but I'm slightly surprised how quickly they seem to have just been able to pick it up again in a different team, in a different league. But it's like they've never been apart, really, isn't it? Like, There seems to be a bit of telepathy there. There's it's early days, but a bit of Henri Bergkamp, if you look further afield, a bit of that York and Cole kind of understanding. And it could be, going into a new season next year, absolutely fantastic for Arsenal.
And when you throw in Mesut Ozil as well, with his ability to change a game, with his sort of eye of the needle threading passing as well, that trilogy, I think, has got great potential.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think for a long time, there's been more question marks over Arsenal's defence than their attack, but most certainly going forward now, they are potent all over the pitch, aren't they?
You mentioned the defence, just the odd occasion where Arsenal still perhaps either overplayed or just took their eye off the ball a little bit and made things hard for themselves when perhaps they didn't need to.
Yes, I think so. But I think one thing that was highlighted on Match of the Day too last night, actually, and I think showed that Ainsley Maitland-Niles was superb yesterday at right back, and that's a new position for him. He's been at left back, he's been at left wing back. You know, he's come through the academy as a central midfielder, but he looked adept there yesterday. I just think when you're rotating your side, there's always going to be a level of miscommunication, if you like, but, you know, they'll get there, I think.
Now, that key moment that we've just alluded to a little bit in our chat so far, Mark, is Peter Cech doing something he hadn't done in over 7 years in the Premier League. Here's a reminder.
Well, Peter Cech's never saved a penalty for Arsenal. This has been much trotted out. How about now against Troy Deeney, who converted from the spot, of course, against Peter Cech at Vicarage Road earlier this season, and has been deadly from 12 yards this campaign. Can he give Watford a lifeline here? Deeney against Cech. Oh, he's tipped onto the post and away. Terrific stuff from Peter Cech, who had saved a penalty in Arsenal colours, and Troy Deeney has been denied here. How's your cojones now, Troy?
Yes. That's one way to answer it.
So Peter Cech, as we heard, saving a penalty there and bringing up this landmark, first goalkeeper to have 200 career Premier League clean sheets. Great story.
It is a great story. I mean, the penalty incident itself is quite amazing that it's been so long of a keeper of his standing. I think it just shows what a lottery a penalty can be. But, it's quite a good way to mark the landmark of 200 clean sheets by getting that monkey off his back as well. And I think he was delighted. I think you could see he was visibly delighted at full time.
And coming in for some criticism of late, but fantastic man of the match performance, penalty save. Here is Peter and also the boss Arsene Wenger reacting to that storyline when they spoke to us post-match.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I have to say, you know, it's never happened that I had to wait 11 games for a clean sheet. And in the stretch, it was quite frustrating at times because, you know, that we had so many games where, you know, we had a big result, and especially at home, you know, when you take the games against Everton or Crystal Palace, that in the end, you know, you are 4-0 up and we conceded late goals. But, you know, that's sometimes you go through the stretches like that as a team, as an individual, and obviously you need to find your way out. And hopefully this week, you know, we had a massive big game in Milan. We managed to win there with a clean sheet today. You know, I thought we carried it with us, and it was not an easy game, as the score says, because we scored in an important moment. You know, they missed the penalty. They had a couple of chances in the first half, so you know we had to defend properly until the last second, and then we did so. You know, I always say, you know, when you go through a difficult period, the last thing you change is your work. You know, your attitude and your precision in everyday work, what you do. And you know, I kept working. I know how I managed to get this far, and so I carried my work, and I you know, I was sure that one day this is gonna turn back, and you know, today it was important save. So, you know, the questions, you know, is it a penalty here or there? Will you save one? You know, I did, so now we can carry on.
You had to wait a while to save a penalty, first of all, and it's quite fortunate that it's against Deeney, you know. And on top of that, yes, to get that clean sheet. And I believe in 2 weeks, his situation shows how football is. In 1 week, he got from hell to heaven, you know, and that's how quickly, how life can be. And But I like the two situations, because in the first situation, he's shown a lot of humility and responsibility. And a record like that witnesses a lot of motivation and a huge level of intelligence, because you don't last for such a long time in the game if you're not intelligent.
Arsene Wenger and Peter Cech there. And I tell you what, Mark, the fact that Troy Deeney was the player taking it, the boos ringing out as he prepared to strike it on the back of his rather, should we say, caustic comments in the previous game in October, it just added to the story even more, didn't it?
Yes, I think so, very much. I mean, it's not a first time for Troy, but he was the villain of the piece, the pantomime villain somewhat yesterday, wasn't he? He took a lot of stick from the supporters. That can sometimes galvanise a player, as I'm sure, you know, it did with Troy. But with the penalty miss, I think he made a lot of people happy inside that stadium yesterday. It was celebrated almost more vicariously than most of the goals, I think.
And for Peter Cech, you don't get to a landmark like 200 Premier League clean sheets without obviously being a very, very good goalkeeper that's kind of stood the test of time. I just hope that after one or two shaky moments, this will just help ease that confidence back now that he's kept a first clean sheet in 12 in the league.
Yes, you think so. I mean, Petr might struggle a bit, given that he's going to be in and out of the team with the hopefully a Europa League run, because obviously David Ospina's the nominated goalkeeper for that competition. And I don't know, however used to that situation you become, I assume it is quite disorientating to be in and out of the goal. You know, we mentioned the defence a moment ago, and it's the same issue there, I think, isn't it? You're playing with a different goalkeeper behind you. There is a little bit of incontinuity there, but, you know, Petr's a class goalkeeper. You only have to see on Twitter the people that tweeted him to congratulate him, David De Gea and the like, just saying, you know, you're the top goalkeeper, essentially, and he has been for so long. Those guys, he's been there for so long. Guys like David De Gea look up to him, I think.
Just a couple of other players I wanted to highlight from our commentary that we enjoyed doing for Arsenal Media. I felt Rob Holding had a very strong game. Literally about one misplaced pass, I think, is all I could put against him. And also Mohamed Elneny. We know he was Player of the Month for January. Whenever he gets his chance, to me, he just adds something in midfield to help balance those around him.
Yeah, I think Rob Holding's very unlucky that he seems to get a little run in the side or a game or two, and then he goes missing from the squad because he is a good player. Mohamed Elneny, I make no bones about it on my Twitter. I think he's a very underrated footballer. And yesterday, I think he showed with his range of passing, but also his ability and want to get into the challenge. He could play a much more central role in this team, but he also seems to be on the periphery somewhat.
So with all of that in mind, Arsene Wenger making several changes for this game from the first leg of the Europa League. We didn't see Aaron Ramsey, Laurent Koscielny, Jack Wilshere on the bench, for example. So winding on to later this week, some good choices and hopefully some good fit and healthy players to pick to try and make through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you look at it like that, yesterday was a perfect day. There was squad rotation, 200th clean sheet for Czech, 3 points. Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan showing what they can do. And like you said, then we had Ramsey and Koscielny, two players that probably arguably can't play every game, rested up completely for Thursday night. It's actually, they go into that now full of confidence, you'd imagine.
Rest weekend to then come in the Premier League due to the international break. A chance again just to go all out and play everybody at Arsenal's disposal if Arsene Wenger so wishes.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure he'll go completely full strength. It's a shame Alexandre Lacazette doesn't look like he looks like he'll be too short to be involved, because it'd been nice to see him before the break, but I'm sure he'll be back afterwards. Obviously.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We won't see Aubameyang because of this archaic UEFA ruling, but that's so he's done now for the international break. But yeah, I think there's no reason why Arsenal won't go as strong as he can on Thursday night and hopefully get the job done.
So that's personnel-wise. What about tactically when you head into a home leg with a 2-0 lead? How do you think Wenger will treat that side of things?
I think if it was any other manager, you'd say he could even play a more defensive unit or shut up shop. But I think Arsenal only knows one way, only wants to play one way. And if they go out in the first 20 minutes and nick a goal, it is almost completely over then, isn't it?
And confidence-wise, on the wider scale, we know all about obviously trying to make the Champions League through the Europa League by winning it, but each win just maybe incrementally just gets things a little bit more back on track after what's been such a challenging couple of months for the club.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we spoke to Jack Wilshere in Milan and he said exactly the same thing. He said, look, we might not get into the top four, but we can't suddenly write off the Premier League games, because it's about building a momentum. They could have sacrificed yesterday and lost to Watford, but then that undoes everything that they did in Milan to rebuild what was a delicate confidence among the squad. So it is now about using the Premier League as a springboard, as I say, to hopefully go further in the Europa League and hone the performances for the Europa League campaign.
And the boss has obviously spoken as well about giving the home fans something to really cheer about and really galvanise and get them fully back on board. This home game, trying to book a place through to the quarterfinals of a big European competition, is another good chance to hopefully do exactly that.
Absolutely. A big win against, you know, Milan are a bit of a sleeping giant, but they're still a giant of European football nonetheless. And if they can play as well and give them as much of a runaround as they did in the San Siro, then the supporters will be delighted with that. And I'm sure whoever else is in that draw on Friday would be sitting up and taking notice of Arsenal and wanting to avoid them at all costs.
We shall wait and see. Hopefully the Gunners make it through to that draw. And as ever, Mark Van Bryans of PA, we appreciate your time here on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast as our insider.
Thank you for having us.
Welsh midfield maestro Aaron Ramsey celebrates 10 years with us this summer. Here is Ramsey remembering the start of his time at Emirates Stadium.
Yeah, when I first arrived at Arsenal, you know, it was a bit daunting pulling into the training ground and seeing all these, you know, nice flash cars and pulling up to them, parking up, going into the training ground, changing room then was quite an experience, you know, seeing the calibre of players that were there. It was a bit surreal that, you know, a few weeks ago I was, you know, training and was a Cardiff player. So, to be fair, they were very welcoming, and, you know, the majority of the team was pretty young as well. So, you know, they took me in pretty well. The things that were going through my mind was just, are they going to know who I am, sort of thing? And I'd only played sort of a handful of games at Cardiff at this point, so they wouldn't have seen too much of me. And yeah, it was all about sort of having to prove yourself again. So they were the things that were going through my mind, and obviously being a bit sort of, not scared, but it was quite a daunting experience, really, to go in there as a 17-year-old and sort of having to sort of prove yourself to all of them players again. I think when you go to a club, you know, you probably keep your head down for the first few weeks and sort of just try and train well, play well, and sort of gain their respect that way. And I was no different to that. Quite quiet, and just got on with my work and tried to let my football do the talking, and like I said, sort of get their respect through that way. Some of the first sessions that I had, I immediately knew there was so much more that I could improve on, and, you know, there was a lot of mannequin work and one and two touch passing around the mannequins, and just the quality of the passing, you know, it was all just a step up, so I really had to, you know, improve on that and test myself. I just wanted to become the best player I could possibly become, and I knew at Arsenal I'd have an opportunity here to show and to learn early on in my career, and the boss definitely gave me that opportunity. So I'm grateful for that, and I think, you know, I've learned so much being here, and the players as well that have been here, taking little bits from, you know, just learning little things from each and every one of their game has definitely helped me. I think all the Arsenal players were, you know, renowned around the world, and being at Cardiff, you know, you'd hear a lot about the players playing at the time. So yeah, I think Fabregas was probably the player that would stand out. He plays in my position, and, you know, the amount of assists and his passing ability was brilliant. So yeah, he was definitely someone that I tried to look to sort of help on that side of it.
Reign of Arsenal.
Well, it should have been
time for Brain of Arsenal, but something that's utterly unprecedented in the near 3 years that myself and Adrian Clarke have been contributing to the Arsenal Weekly podcast has happened. There is no Clarkey. Adrian Clarke is quite severely ill.
Yeah, no Clarkey here. No Clarkey on the phone. He's so ill, he can't even take a phone call.
So it's just myself and Arsenal Weekly podcast editor Liam Roberts here in the studio. And you know what? It just feels like we've lost a limb here, doesn't it?
I don't know what to do. I'm in Clarkey's seat. It doesn't feel right. We can't get him on the phone. Yeah, he's very, very ill.
And the danger is, by sitting in his seat, you may now potentially contract the Australian flu that he's got?
It's some kind of flu. I know he's bedridden. Like, I thought it was to do with the amount of revision he's been doing, but but we know he doesn't do that much. So, yeah, is he going to use this as an excuse? 2 weeks of revision?
What I'd like to know is, if you think about a football game, if a team does not fulfil its fixture, there's an ultimate and immediate 3-0 victory given to the other team that has turned up, i.e. me.
This is Middlesbrough.
Done its prep, done its work.
Yeah, this is Middlesbrough 1996-97 all over again. So that actually relegated them as well, if you remember. So, yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one.
You're the man in charge, so I'm just wondering, do I get an immediate 3-0 victory that admittedly would probably push me on to a third round of questions, which I'll get massacred in, but...
So it's an easy week too for you. I don't know. I think we should put it out to the listeners, possibly.
Well, does Clarkey get a bye where we just reconvene next week?
Yeah.
Or do I get a 3-0 aggregate win because I'm here?
Yeah,
I'm prepped. I'm ready.
Does he get the benefit of the doubt for being here all the time in 3 years? And see, it's fighting.
You see me at death's door coughing my guts up and I still attend.
Every week, yes. I think we put it out to listeners. I reckon if you could put a Twitter poll together on your Twitter feed, I want to know what the listeners think. Should Russell Hargreaves get a default win?
3-0, we'll say. We won't say the full four.
Yep.
We'll say 3, just like in the Premier League.
Yep. And, we'll see. We'll have the results next week.
Or should Clarkey get a bye week?
Do you feel that sorry for him?
No. Not remotely. Sorry for that, man. Let's see how it goes. All right, I shall get that out to social media. And Liam, in the meanwhile, thank you very much indeed.
It means I'll have to write new questions. I actually had questions prepared for this week. So, for my benefit...
You actually want Clarkey to win?
Yeah.
The final word this week goes to former ITV commentator Peter Drury. To celebrate our 1,000th home Premier League goal, we spoke to Peter about his favourite from the year way back in 1997.
It was a fantastic day. I remember it was a beautiful, bright, sunny day. And it was kind of... because I suppose Bolton were the bad side, but they were relatively modest. Arsenal were expected to win. And it kind of felt like Wrighty's testimonial because almost the whole purpose of the game was for Ian Wright to break this long-established record of a kind of legendary name from the Arsenal archive and history. You know, Cliff Baston was so far back that, you know, people on the whole, you know, had never experienced his career. And it was like a kind of piece of immovable history which Ian Wright was going to move. When he did it, the explosion was terrific. And typically of him, of course, he had a T-shirt ready for it, I think.
Yeah.
That I have to say was a very happy day to be there, actually. And of course, that was a significant season because it was Arsene Wenger's first full season.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Aaron Ramsey, to Mark Bryans, and of course to Peter Drury for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and also find us on Acast these days. Remember too to get your questions into Adrian Clarke. He'll be back at the chalkboard next week on Twitter, and that's using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. We're back on Monday, March the 19th, and until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.